Thanks very much for coming and for persevering to the end. If you're here for the next 45 minutes, the next half hour, unfortunately, you're going to hear my nasally voice. Thank you for coming. And I first want to acknowledge my co-authors, Allison and Tricia, who is in the audience back there. Thanks for your help with this. So the first presentation, they're related. They're on the National Study of Caregiving. And hopefully people have heard about this. It's a new, it's part of the National Aging Health and Trends Survey, and we're very excited to get the word out about it's a great data set, so if you're interested in this, I'll tell you more about it. First, notice no relationships to disclose. The real challenge that we have is defining caregiver burden, and there's really no consensus in the literature, in the field, about what is caregiver burden. We haven't talking about informal caregivers, and the idea is that it's really a set of conditions, psychological, behavioral, physiological effects that may or may not influence health. And there's a couple different definitions, and they all kind of come back to those psychological, behavioral, physical. And then there's also social as well. And it's so there's really the jury is still out as far as defining and a unifying measure of caregiver burden in our field and in the literature. And then there's this notion of objective versus subjective burden. And then the objective burden, the idea is that it's the physical labor that you have to take when you're helping take care of a loved one, the physical toll that it takes on you. And there's also subjective, which is more of the emotional, social, and psychological toll. And so there's all sorts of different definitions out there. And it's a challenge, I would say, in aging research. It's multidimensional, as I mentioned. And yet also the idea is that it may be different depending on whether or not you're male or female, whether or not you're a spousal caregiver, whether or not you're a child caregiver, and whether or not you have a child living at home, so you're doing sort of dual caregiving, sandwich caregiving, and we'll talk about that in about 12 minutes. There are a few existing scales that have been validated, the burden scale for family caregivers, caregiver burden inventory, and the modified caregiver strain index, and these have been used pretty largely in studies, but there's still, again, no consensus. There's different ways of getting at it, and people say, well, one omits something, one omits another thing, one addresses this in the wrong way, so they're all great measures, and there's no real unifying measure that everybody uses. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the be-all, end-all, just a preview, but really, so the objective of this analysis is to look for latent domains of caregiver burden in the National Study of Caregivers, to look at the validity and reliability of those caregiver domains. So I promise this is a little bit about a factor analysis, and it's a little bit dry, and I will, but hopefully you can find this useful for measuring things, I hope. So just to give you a quick overview of the National Study of Caregiving, it's designed as a national study, representative sample, people who help older family members, spouses, parents, in-laws, aunts, uncles, all sorts of things, with their daily activities. And it's part of a larger data set, the National Health and Aging Trends Survey, which is a longitudinal study. And I found out just last week at GSA that the National Study of Caregiving will be longitudinal. They're having a second wave on next year, I believe they're coming out with it. So we're very excited about that. Right now it's cross-sectional, so as you'll see, it's one of the limitations that you'll see in both presentations. Basically how this works is you have an NHATS participant who is an older adult, could may or may not require care, but someone over an elderly person, and they can identify up to five informal caregivers. They could be family caregivers, they could be supplying 40 hours of work per week, they could be helping out once a month with paying bills. They're all considered informal caregivers if the NHATS participant identifies them, and those people are made up make up the National Study of Caregiving sample. So we looked at 21 initially we looked at 21 potential burden variables, and I'm going to make a big caveat here that there are no physical burden measures that we looked at, and there's a reason why. It's because there are over 100 questions in the National Study of Caregiving in 9 different domains, and the physical caregiving would be kind of its own beast, its own kind of thing to grapple with. So we looked at kind of the we kind of omitted that for now. We're going to go back to that a little bit later. So these are the questions that we looked at for burden. We used exploratory factor analysis and got to try to get some latent measures of caregiving. We looked at anywhere between 4 and 7 factors. This is just a very small subset of the work that we did. We actually looked at a bunch of different models. And then we did a little sensitivity analysis to see, well, are those factors consistent across demographic groups? And we looked at it by sex, relationship to caregiving, care recipient, and also whether or not they were part of the sandwich generation. And we used SAS for the analysis. So here's just a quick overview. We're going to just walk you through this briskly, and you'll see these are the domains, and I apologize in the back of the room if the font's a little bit small. These are the seven domains that emerged. And on top, you have the Cronbach alpha looking at reliability, and each domain is sort of sectioned off by color. And so the first one we had seven factors, and as you can see, the reliability toward the lower factors was got pretty bad, really, by any standards. We have a reliability, an alpha of 0.33, that's not very good. But we did explain a fair amount of the variance. So then we went to six factors. We found that the Cronbach alphas were still not great, but they were better. What you may notice is that the first factor remains the same, and also does, as is the second factor. So with the same questions in each factor, as is if we looked at five factors, percent variance explained goes down. The reliability again in the fourth and fifth factor were not terrific, but they were still optimistic that there's something there. And then what we settled on was actually four factors. We didn't settle on this particular model, and you'll see why in a second. But we have, and what was interesting about this four factors is we actually had one. A little bit different, where we had an extra question in the first factor, which actually reduced the Cronbach alpha from 0.7 to less than 0.6. So we did a little bit of tweaking of this model, and we actually took out some questions that we thought were not really fitting in well. We ended up with this four-factor model. So as you can see, so it's back to the original six questions in the first factor, three questions in the second factor, five questions. And then three questions. And we call the first one negative emotional. That's kind of encompasses a lot of the negative emotional burden that one might get. You can call it whatever you want. That's just kind of what we had deemed it. Then the second factor we deemed as positive emotional. The next one was social. They were all kind of fell into the social activities. And the last one was financial. And we were a little bit surprised that worked for pay was in there, because we thought that might be part of the social one, and that you'll see it actually kind of bounced around a little bit with factors. Then we did a little sensitivity analysis, and we looked at the four different factors to see how they would change as we did looked at different demographic groups in the National Study of Caregiving. And so this is the same results you found. And just to orient you a little bit, we had the four factors that are colored in pink, blue, yellow, and green, and you'll see how they're pretty consistent, but they do change based on the demographic group that we're looking at. So comparing males to females, pretty identical. Also, you see the Cronbach's alpha for each of them down there, pretty consistent across groups. Interestingly enough, the reliability was much higher in females than for males, and I have some ideas as to why that might be. I think males have, it's in literature as well, often play a very different caregiving role that I'll get into a little bit more in the next talk. And then if you look at whether they're a child of a care recipient or an other relative, meaning a spouse, a friend, or other type of relative, we found some slightly different results where that factor four, the financial burden, it somehow included some of the social questions, and they were actually on the cusp. And as you can see, the reliability of that one was also not that terrific. But we looked at sandwich versus non-sandwich caregivers, and here we excluded everybody that wasn't a child caregiver. So we're looking only within caregivers who are children. We found pretty consistent results again. So the factors generally hold up depending on the caregiving group. Not perfectly, but they generally do hold up. The reliability statistics are decent for some of them and not great for others. This is an ongoing kind of question, the concern that we have about these factors, is that how that all plays out. So just a quick summary of findings. They really fell into four domains that were fairly consistent. And again, the reliability factors, none of them were really above 0.8. Occasionally you might have one that was, but so they really range from good to poor, I would say. On the positive note, at least the measures were pretty consistent throughout the different demographics, caregiver groups. So the study, as you can imagine, you'll see some of these repeated in about 15 minutes, has a fair number of limitations and a few strengths. One thing is we dichotomize the burden question. So whenever you dichotomize, you lose a lot of great information that we have when we're doing continuous data, ordinal data. We didn't examine other demographic differences. There's a whole host of things we could have done. We could have looked at it by age. We could have looked at other things, and I would imagine that it would vary substantially by age of the caregiver, and also by the type of care given. So whether it's the care recipient is receiving care for dementia, whether they're receiving care for cancer, whether they're receiving care after an injury, after a fall. So these are other things that we could have looked at. We didn't, we didn't address physical health questions because as I mentioned earlier, it's a really important thing, and it's a very critical part of caregiver burden. But it was kind of too big to grapple with at this point because it may have overwhelmed the other burden scores that were the other burden types, emotional, social, and financial. So we're going to hopefully look at that very shortly. But on the plus side, this was the first study to look at caregiver burden domains in the National Study of Caregiving. Their domains actually line up pretty well with previous studies as far as what we found, and they line up pretty well with the definitions. And it's a pretty good sample, so we have about 2,000 people in the sample. So we can, and what's kind of nice about this data set in general, and for those of you that have worked with the data, you can get a ton of information about caregivers, care recipients, other people who the care recipients identify that are helpers that aren't caregivers, but they're related to them. So it's actually a very neat data set that is worth exploring if you are interested. And these are some of the future directions that we hope to go. Again, physical health questions, really hope to get into that. We're looking at, we wanted to kind of take a question by question look at concordance and discrepancies with other caregiving burden scales. We want to actually kind of just do some of the descriptive epidemiology of caregiver burden. We want to look at what does it mean to have caregiver burden, who is it most affected. I mean, we know in the literature, there's been a lot of literature on this, but we have this new data set that we can actually use that to link to get a lot of more information. And then what we're interested in is looking at the association between how intensely you caregive or you provide care and caregiver burden. So how much time you spend with them, what kind of caregiving activities you're doing with them, and how that affects caregiver health. And you'll see that in about 2 minutes. So hopefully, if all goes well. So unless you take the big hook and take me off stage. So I wanted to acknowledge our research coordinator, Lauren Kelly, who's actually just walked in, and also the folks that developed the NHATS and NSOC, which are Emily Agree and Maureen Skehan, and the data sources. Wanted to acknowledge them as well, and I really do appreciate. Thank you for persevering in this beautiful city on this beautiful day. We appreciate you sticking it out for two of hearing my voice for a while and. And this is just some contact information but I guess we're going to save the questions for the end. Okay, so that's my contact information, and if you'll see it again. So,